from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th chapter, text 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Iti atushnim stitam daicham vilokya purushottamah asmayamano visrishagram pucham Jagraha Sambaraha Iti Tushnim Stitanda Echan
Iti Tushnim Stitanda Echan
Vilokya Purushottamaha
Vilokya Purushottamaha
Swayamano Vishrija Gram Ucham jagraha samaraha
Ucham jagraha samaraha
Iti tushnim sitan noecham
Iti tushnim sitan noecham
Vilokya purushottamaha
Vilokya purushottamaha
Smayamano vishrijagram Ucham jagraha samaraha
Ucham jagraha samaraha
Iti dushnim stitando icham
Iti dushnim stitando icham
Vilokya purushottamaha
Vilokya purushottamaha
Smayamano vishrijagram Ucham jagraha samaraha Oops, okay.
Iti tushnim stitan detyan
Iti tushnim stitan detyan
Vilokya purushottamaha
Vilokya purushottamaha
Smayamano vishrijagram
Smayamano vishrijagram
Ladies? No? No ladies. Okay. Well, what have you done? So, we'll repeat. Iti. Thus. Tushnim.
Silently.
Stitan. Stain. Doichan. The demons. Vilokya, sin. Purusha Uttamaha,
the
personality of Godhead. Smayamanaha, smiling. Vishrija, giving up. Agram, the front portion of the snake. Pucham,
rear portion.
Jagraha.
Grasped.
Amaraha. With the demigods. Translation. Thus the demons remain silent, opposing the desire of the demigods. Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the personality of Godhead smiled. Without discussion, he immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snake, and the demigods followed him. Okay, so there's no purport to this text. I just want to mention one thing, is that the Supreme Personality of God had used a little bit of reverse psychology in this particular case. That is, he made believe that he and the demigods were interested in the head. So the demons would get upset and think, oh, they've chosen the best part. And so then the demons would challenge them, as we read previously. And then the demons would say, give us the head. And then the Lord says, okay, I guess you're right. You know, a little psychology there. And the demons took the head and they got all the bad breath of the snake. Poisonous breath, of course. All right, so there's no purport to the next few texts, so we're going to keep reading. Text 5. Kritastana vibhagas tuta evam kashyapanandanaha mamantu paramhamta amritartam paya payonidim. After thus adjusting how the snake was to be held, the sons of Kashyapa, both demigods and demons, began their activities desiring to get nectar by churning the ocean of milk. Matya, text 6. Matyamane nave so drir anantaro yapovishat driyamano pi bali bir goravapandu nandana. O son of the Pandu dynasty, when Mandara Mountain was thus being used as a churning rod in the ocean of milk, it had no support. And therefore, although held by the strong hands of the demigods and demons, it sank into the water. Text 7. Te sunir vinaha manatsa parantalana mukashriyaha asanswa purushe nashte Daivenati Baliasa. Because the mountain had been sunk by the strength of providence, the demigods and demons were disappointed and their faces seemed to shrivel. Text 8. Vilokya Vignesha. Vilokya Vignesha Vidim Tadeshvaro Turanta Viryo Vittata Vishandike Kritva Vapu Kachapam Adbutam Mahat Pavishatoyam Girim Ujahara. Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara Mountain. So, here we have a purport. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. Here is evidence that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme controller of everything. As we have previously described, there are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods, but neither of them are supremely powerful. Everyone has experienced that hindrances are imposed upon us by the supreme power. The demons regard these hindrances as mere accidents or chance, but devotees accept them to be acts of the supreme ruler. When faced with hindrances, therefore, devotees pray to the Lord. Tate nukampam susama mikshamana bunjana ivatma pritam vipakam. Devotees endure hindrances, accepting them to be caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and regarding them as benedictions. Demons, however, being unable to understand the Supreme Controller, regard such hindrances as accidental. Here, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present personally. It was by his will that there were hindrances, and by his will, those hindrances were removed. The Lord appeared as a tortoise to support the great mountain. Shatiriha viplu The Lord held the great mountain on his back. Keshavadrita kurma sharira jaya jagadisha ore. Dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they can also be removed by him. This is known to devotees, but demons cannot understand it. Poor demons. So, Om Gana Timinandesha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Un Meditam Yena Tasmai Shugurveda Maha. So, actually, there's two circumstances in which hindrances occur in the lives of living entities. One circumstance is when the living entity is actually just like an absolute Maya. And these hindrances, or let's say difficulties, to make it more explicit, are actually meant to teach the person that suffering is caused by attachment. You know, people complain so many times about it's called theodicy, the justice of God. God is so unjust. There's suffering in the world. I get sick, I get old. You know, why doesn't he just make me have a young body in this world? Isn't it? Young body. Why doesn't he just make everything pleasant? Like a Walt Disney World. Everything seems to be going all right. You know, like in some cartoon. Cartoons, at least when I was young, were very pleasant. Like even if someone fell off a cliff, they didn't die. And sometimes they just stayed in the air, which is actually even better. Until they noticed they were without any support. So there's this whole discussion about theodicy. And, you know, one particular explanation is that, which is a valid explanation, that God loves us so much that he punishes us. And like the story that Prabhupada would often tell, about this boy who was being taken care of by his aunt. His aunt was taking care of him, and she was just very positive with him all the time. Yes, whatever you do, you know, you kill your friends, you know, whatever. Oh, I love you. Like, it says a mother calls a blind child Padma Lochana, lotus eye child. So, you know, attachment is blind. Is it? You know, whether it's, in this particular case, it's an aunt and her nephew. So in any case, so he grew up and he was not corrected. And he became a murderer and did all sorts of things. And then he was condemned to die. And then when he was condemned to die, the jailer asked him, "Do you have any last requests?" He said, "Yes, I'd just like to say something to my dear most." And so the aunt came close, and he bit off her ear. Oh my God, cannibal. And everyone said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "She never corrected me." So the correction is there. So many people think, you know, this correction is really heavy. Can't he do it in a kinder way, you know, just like, "Don't do that anymore, my dear devotee." No, sometimes you need like some heaviness in life. And in addition, you may say, "Well, but that's cruel the way things is God's arranged." But it's all an illusion anyway. I mean, that may be very cruel for me to say that. And certainly you don't say that to someone when they're in the hospital and suffering, you know, someone's in the hospital. I mean, just like last night, I ate the wrong food or whatever, and I had some like gas pains or something. And it happens sometimes, you know, I ate too much or something like that. I was thinking, it's all an illusion, it's all an illusion. I still couldn't sleep. Anyway. Then a stomach pains or something like that. It's all an illusion. It doesn't work. But it is. It's actually due to your identification with matter. That's the cause of the suffering. Even the Buddhists understand that. That suffering is caused by attachment. Give up the attachment. So that's a hard one to do. Giving up the attachment. So you can't. So forget about it. What the Buddhist proposes is absolutely impossible. You can't give up the attachment just by sitting and having someone whack you when you move. You know, that's, of course, Zen Buddhism to do that. Just, you know, you can't give up the attachment. So it's hopeless, you might as well suffer. No, you can give up the attachment by being attached. Just like if someone is just like completely absorbed in a movie, then you forget your miseries of life, right? That's why in India, you know, especially amongst the poverty-stricken people, these movies are so popular. Bollywood? No, none of you heard of Bollywood movies. They're all these, like, impossible love stories. You know, and where the couple is dancing like, somehow or other, they have this dance in the Bombay railway station, which is probably the dirtiest place on earth. And it's just like, and you're watching, and actually there was a movie recently, oh my God, I haven't seen it, don't worry. But I was just told about it, because I was in Govardhan, and a famous actor was there at the same time, and I gave him a Bhagavad Gita, Akshay Kumar. Some of you heard of Akshay Kumar. Yes, I shook his hand, and I didn't wash my hand after so for 2 weeks. Ladies, they like that sometimes. This hand touched Akshay Kumar. So somehow or other, I was able to see him by trick and give him a bug. You know, that's another story. So I just found out recently why he was there. He was filming a film, and the name of the film was Toilet. You heard about that film before? You seen the film? She's seen the film. And it was about, you know, it was about how Brahmins, they don't, they think that toilets are against their religious principles. Right? And then there's a big fight with his parents, and finally they established a toilet. In Braj. It was in Vrindavan. It was shot in Braj. I didn't see it. For those of you who want to watch it, it's on Netflix. Anyway, the devotees told me about it because I was there. I'm not in the movie, don't worry. But, so people watch the movie on toilet. You know. I think this is all these movies are just toilets anyway. You've heard about that movie? See? We have one person heard that movie. Anyone? No, I won't ask you. So you become so immersed in this movie. I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't watch toilet movies. But or sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm on the plane, I watch Star Wars. And then I just forget. I forget that I'm a devotee. I forget that I'm a... Forget about, you know, put you in illusion. Actually, put you in illusion. You forget you're a devotee. You forget your responsibilities in life. And for a little while, it's a relief. Phew. And then when you get off the plane, you got to face everyone in Fiji. So the point is, I mean, I'm not saying you should do that, watch a movie all the time, or be engaged in virtual reality, or be an illusion. But by having a higher taste or higher attraction, then you realize, even though these material things are going on, the pain in the body, the pain in the head, the pain in other living entities, material nature. You don't get into it. Just like I have one disciple, who remain nameless, who always complains about things. You know, he really gets into it, and it's just like, oh, I married the wrong girl. All my needs are not being fulfilled. Probably no one from that. No, anyway, it's not good. And he's just complaining. Oh, it's too hot. It's too much rain. It's, I don't have enough money. I didn't make enough money. You know, it's always complaining about things. You know, what? Or complaining about the traffic or something like that. Or complaining that someone cut him off in the car. It's always, come on. Complain all this negativity, you know. Isn't that? Oh my God. But it doesn't make things better to complain about things. It just makes it worse. It makes it 10 times worse. Let's say it's raining. You know, yesterday it was raining, pouring. Or the other night. Let's say the other night. I was trying to sleep and rain was coming down and hitting the roof. I got up, put my headphones on. But I didn't complain. I didn't get angry with the rain or anything. Or just like, ah, it's raining. Because it just makes you more attached. Isn't it? The more you get angry and upset in this world, you just got to tolerate. Tamsa tiksha bharata, matra sparsha. There's the first lesson Krishna teaches in the Gita, isn't it? Matra sparsha stagantayasi tyamshna sukadukadam. Same first lesson. Just tolerate Arjuna. You know. So, but we tolerate by understanding we have a higher purpose, a higher goal. So we focus on the goal, then we can push through whatever misery is there. Anyway, so getting back to the point, I was just talking about non-devotees and then I got onto devotees, but anyway. So getting back to the point is that somehow or other we have to encourage people. There are no material solutions. You can do certain things. You go to the doctor, you wear a seatbelt and everything like that, but ultimately this world is going to present all these different difficulties and impediments like that. Okay, that's karma, or whatever. That's Krishna. Actually, the karma is administered by Krishna's agents to teach you a lesson that you're meant to be attached to Krishna, a higher thing that never goes away. Understand? So, that's the karma. So let's talk about it from the Lord's pastimes perspective, where you find in the Lord's pastimes there's so many impediments that occur, so many problems that occur. You think that, you know, the Lord comes down and everybody should be just like peace and love and everything like that. Yesterday I was reading the Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, the bona fide Ramayana. So, at this particular part of the Ramayana, Lakshman, they come and they meet Hanuman, which is a really ecstatic part of the Ramayana. And Hanuman takes them up to see Sugriv. And they want to make friends with Sugriv because, you know, Sugriv's going to help him solve the problem of getting Sita Devi back. And then Sugriv starts to tell them about his problems. You know, he says, you think you have problems. You know, they're both sharing their problems. First, it's actually a fact that what happens is that Ram is actually acting like a regular person, and he's crying. He's crying out of separation from Sita Devi. He's actually literally crying in the Ramayana, just like, and because recently he's been in the, it's springtime there, and everything reminds him of Sita Devi. You know, the chirping of the birds, chirp, chirp. You know, spring awakens a young man's fancy and love. It's like, do you have Valentine's Day here? Do you also have hearts and everything? Anyway, so Ram, it's actually not that funny, but Ram is actually just experiencing extreme anxiety. And Sugriva has to preach to him. He says, look, oh greatest of warriors, you know, Shraku dynasty, this is not behold. It's not good for you. And also Lakshmana preaches to Ram too, which is really interesting. You know, in many cases, Lakshmana actually preaches to Ram in the Ramayana. You know, first when Ram was ready to destroy the whole universe because he didn't have Sita. But Ram is lamenting, you know, he's remembering her beautiful eyes, lotus eyes, and you know, there's a whole description of Sita Devi there, which is really, so, you know, so there's an impediment there. So then, when Sugriva is able to calm Ram down, then Sugriva says, let me tell you about my problems. It turns out, you know, I think most of you know the story, that he was very obedient to his brother Bali. He didn't do anything wrong. He was a nice brother. So one time, Bali had to fight with this Mayavi demon. Mayavi, most of you know this, went into a cave, and Bali went in and followed Mayavi, and he told Sugriva, you just stay outside this cave and guard. Don't let the demon escape. So it took a long time because this there were tunnels inside the cave for Bali to actually find Mayavi, and it's described there was Mayavi's family too, so he fought with the whole family, I guess the wives and the children. And he killed them all, and as he killed them all, it took about a year. When he killed them all, the blood flowed out of the cave. I guess there was so much blood, and it came out of the entrance of the cave. Sugriva was waiting there, you know, good brother. He didn't do anything wrong. And the blood flowed out of the cave, and so he thought, oh, something's happened with my brother, so I have to seal up the cave so the demon doesn't escape. So he picks up this giant boulder, it's as big as a mountain, basically, puts it in the mouth of the cave, and goes back to the kingdom. And he doesn't really take over the kingdom immediately. But his ministers and all the ministers say, someone's got to be in charge of Kishkinda. Kishkinda is the kingdom of the monkeys. And they say, you have to do it, you have to do it. And so then reluctantly he takes over the kingdom. He's sitting there on the throne in Kishkinda. And then what happens is that Bali has conquered this demon, and Bali is trying to find his way out of the cave. And because the stone is there, you know, it's dark in the cave. Monkeys can't see in the dark. So eventually he comes, finds the stone, and with his strength, you know, he's stronger than his brother, he's able to kick or push the stone out of the way, comes back to Kishkinda, and he sees his brother sitting on the throne. And his brother, that is Sugriva, comes down and says, I was asked to do this by the ministers, and I've just been holding it for you to take your rightful place, my dear brother, touches his brother's feet. And Bali is angry as hell. And he actually kills some of Sugriva's associates in the process and chases Sugriva out. And Sugriva goes to Mount Rishimukh because Bali can't go there. He's been cursed by Matanga. There was some blood from Dundini before. So, and then, but to make an insult to injury, Bali takes over Sugriva's wife too. I mean, it's one thing, you know, kick you out of the kingdom. All right, you can take a vacation on a mountain for a while. But he takes his wife away. And so the poor guy is suffering. And he's a devotee. You know, these aren't demons. These are devotees. And Hanuman is with him. Fortunately, Hanuman is with him. And so, look at that impediment. And so you say, you know, why is God doing it? It's not because of karma. It's because he's planning his pastime. You know, God is actually, Krishna is planning his pastime in such a way, he's putting all the pieces in place. So that, because as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knows everything past, present, and future, as Rupa Gita says. And also Yogamaya is arranging for all these things. So putting all the pieces in place so later on he can enlist the help of Bali, and Bali can help him and go with the monkey army to Lanka and conquer Lanka. Of course, Ravana was killed by Ram, and Hanuman could do his service. I mean, all these things are just like put into place. But so in retrospect, for those of you who don't know, means looking back. You know, sometimes someone does something and says, why the hell did you do that? And then 10 years later you realize, hey, that was a good idea. For example, let's take my mother, for example. One time this is not a Krishna conscious example, but it helps you understand things. One time she saw someone on the street selling coffee. She doesn't follow where you live, but she's a swinger. So anyway, she saw her and she bought the coffee and said, this is the best coffee I ever take. What's your name? And what's the company's name? They're just a few street carts. They said, the carts are called Starbucks. And my mother, they went public, and my mother bought like thousands of shares of Starbucks at like $1 a share. So everyone thought, what a stupid thing to do. And now, you know, of course now the market, who knows. But anyway, so it increased like thousands and thousands of times. So sometimes, you know, you see things, you know, why did God do this? But in retrospect, you know, looking back, I'm not saying God's like my mother. So my mother knows everything, past, present, like that. But in retrospect, looking back, you understand. Like you read the Ramayana. Oh my God. Or the Mahabharata. You know, the Pandavas sent into exile, losing the gambling match. What? These are great devotees, eternally liberated associates of Krishna. But they went, and being in exile, they were able to acquire more weapons, more powers. Arjuna was able to be a lady. Brihanala. Sweet. As not exactly a lady, but you know, something cross-dresser. As I say nowadays. Isn't it? You know, for 1 year he's able to do that and then get the help of the Bharat, and then you had Abhimanyu get married, isn't it? The Uttara. I mean, all these things, you know, just like Krishna's a playwright. You understand? He's written a play. And he'd written a script. But you don't know what the script is. Isn't it? That's the funny thing. We think, you know, of course, we have free will. We can cooperate with the script, or we could try to write our own script. And when we try to write our own script, then we're outside of Yogamaya. We're outside of Krishna's protection. Then we're under the influence of the material modes of nature. So if we go along with Krishna's script, and what does that mean? That verse that Prabhupada quoted here, Tattena Kampam, Sucha Mikshamana, Bunjana Vatma, Kritam Vipakam, Ridvad Bapurvir, Ridanam Namaste Jivete Yo Mukti Pude Siddhayavak. What is Krishna's script? That if something happens to us, we understand Krishna has a plan, yes. And we tolerate, and we think that, you know, if I have to do some suffering, it's due to past activities I did. Token reaction. The Prabhupada said token reaction. Token reaction means you did so many things bad. I mean, practically all of us, except for Adi Purusha, practically all of us did some bad things in life before. And then if we have to accept the reactions, I mean, just like I was mentioning about some of the things that I did before I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, it was just like, make Jagai and Madai look like pious souls. No, not really. It wasn't bad, that bad. But if I think about the reactions I would have to get, I mean, I think most of you probably ate chickens before. Right? Not Rasbihari, he's a pious thing. Chickens or fish or even worse than that. Can you imagine? You'd be running around, if you had to suffer the reaction, you'd be running around as a chicken right now. Yeah. Was that cock-a-doodle-doo, you know, like the rooster? Cock-a-doodle-doo. Instead of chanting Hare Krishna, you'd be... Or you'd be one of those street dogs. Ruff, ruff, like that. Isn't it? So, you know, so you have a little, so you get a token reaction. Instead of being a chicken, you know, you get a little slap, you break your arm or something like that. Or whatever. You lose your hair. So tatena kampam susumichmana. So we don't blame Krishna. And we also take advantage. And we don't see problems or impediments. We see challenges and opportunities. You understand? Challenges and opportunities. Just like there are people who, let's say for some reason or other, they may lose their legs. Let's say they go to war or something like that. And then they still enter into marathons and competition in some way, you know, handicap competition. They're still doing that. Or I knew someone where I was living in the United States who was a quadriplegic. Quadriplegic means basically no hands, no legs, or no control of the hands and legs. And they were running a business. They were typing on the computer, using a pen or pencil, like that. Other people, if they start sneezing, isn't it? Or, you know, or if they didn't marry the prettiest girl on the block, they're just like, you know, they just go to pieces, right? I've seen that. They just go to pieces. You know, life is miserable. It's horrible. Let me kill myself. Or let me just watch videos. Oh, it's the same thing as killing yourself. You know, just watch videos all day long. Like sometimes the ladies, they watch these soap operas because their whole life is not romantic enough. So they watch these romantic things. You have the TV. Oh, so-and-so loves so-and-so. And they couldn't get married, but he's hankering, you know. Tune in next week to find out what happens. What happens to Devi Dasi. Isn't it? You know, so people just like lose hope. But actually, Krishna says, Ridvad Bapurvir, Vidalam Namaste, Jivaita Yo Mukti Pudesa Dayabak. Those who understand those things are sent to help us become more, their challenges and opportunities. And then you go on worshiping Krishna Ridvad with your heart. What does that mean? Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, Yajeta Purushampa, with enthusiastic bhakti. Not just, I guess I have to worship Krishna. There's nothing left in life for me. No one loves me. I don't have any money. So this is, The only thing left is join the Hare Krishna. Isn't it? I mean, that's what people... but not written. Written means the heart. That means you're just like, wow, I'm so fortunate. Why am I fortunate? I may have no money, may have an ugly wife, may have, what else? No house, no hair. But I have Krishna. So oftentimes we're not aware or, let's say, thankful for our good fortune. I mean, it's amazing. We've been given the highest knowledge. I can start to complain about that one. Oh my God.
Highest bells. Highest bells.
Are you finished? Okay. I'm so miserable. Anyways. So, anyway, getting back to the point. We have Krishna. I mean, the highest knowledge, the best association. You know, you could look at things in a negative way, but look, we've been so blessed. You know, who in this world is so blessed as us? Isn't it? Higher goal, purpose in life. You know, associated with Prabhupada, the Vedic literatures. Wow. Everything else pales in comparison. So when you think like that, rid, then you have it in your heart. But, you know, words, then you go and you, words, use your words, chant. And, but poor, and you serve Krishna with your body. But all three things are necessary. Not just one. Because if you just serve Krishna with your body, that's just ritualistic. You still have a bad mood. And you won't make much spiritual advancement. Because Krishna consciousness means Nyabhi Lashatashunyam Ganakarma Navidam Anukul Yena Krishna Krishna Shilanam Bhakti Rudama. That to serve Krishna joyfully, enthusiastically, and lovingly, and also doing what he wants and being active at it, not just dreaming about it. One day I will preach. One day I will be a good devotee. One day I will chant my rounds. I know that day will come. Right now I'm in my Saturn period. Don't bother me, Prabhu. It's the Saturn period. Time for me to be depressed. So, anyway, so that's the point. Tadvag, Visargo, So we are meant to serve Krishna with our body, mind, heart, words. And then whatever impediment is there becomes an opportunity for us to prove to Krishna our love. I mean, just like in ordinary affairs, you've got to prove to someone your love. Like if someone's married, or you get married, then they have to at least bring flowers. You know, the husband can say to his wife, you know, I really love you, but eventually she says, do something. Get me that jewelry. Get me that sari. You know, he has to do something. Go to work, you bum. So love means active. Right? Anyway, so this is all opportunities to prove to Krishna we love him. 100%. So any questions or comments about some of the points? Yeah, so life is like that. Remember Sugriva. I was thinking about that when I was reading the Ramayana. Poor Sugriva. Can you imagine how painful it was? And poor Ram. You know, it's so painful. Thinking about that. Poor Ravan, too. I mean, he lost everything. You know, but you actually see how these great devotees, or Queen Kunti, or the Pandavas, or even Krishna, leaving Vrindavan. He's always hankering for the associates of Vrindavan. Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. Vishnu. Someone's calling me, but I'm... Yes, Krishna is teaching us. Whatever happens is Krishna is teaching us and Krishna is helping us. Krishna loves us. Like a parent. He really loves us. He wants us with him like anything. And we are opposing him. We're thinking, we don't want to be back with him. I like this place. I just need to make this adjustment, isn't it? Just this little adjustment. Get a nice house. If I get a nice house on the beach here, and I can enjoy life and go swimming every day, isn't it? Would that be nice? And then you go in the world. I mean, just one final example. Before I joined the movement, we had this property in the Bahamas, which is the most beautiful place, you know, just like better than Fiji. And it was an isolated island where there was nobody there. So I had my father drop me off there. We had a house there, beautiful pink sand, clear water, and just like paradise. All right, so I go there thinking, this is great, you know, I can meditate. You know, I was doing yoga. I can meditate, so my father lands the plane right next to the property on the road, and he drops me off, and I said, hasta la vista, you know, I'm going to have a good time. So I go there, and I think, this is great. I'm enjoying the material world. So what happens is then I try to go in the water, go swimming, which I like to go swimming, and I see these things going back and forth in the water. I said, oh my God, no swimming for me today. So then I come out and I said, at least I can sit and enjoy life in the sand or something. Then I hear these wild pigs. when Lord Shiva and Arjuna killed that big pig, you know, it was a demon, they were that big, with big tusks. So I thought, oh my God, what happened to my enjoyment? That's life. You make all these plans for your enjoyment and it just doesn't work. So on that happy note, I think we should end class. All glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ki Jai.